Praise the Lord. When the word of God goes forth, I close my eyes, but not to sleep, but to take it all in so completely, to hear it and rejoice in it. You know, when God's word goes out, it does not go out to the chairs we sit on, but to us. And when it goes out to us, it does not go to our heads, but to our hearts. Someone has said, God hides himself from our minds, but reveals himself in our hearts. And that is it. We cannot grasp all these things with our minds, but in our hearts we can believe them. Someone else said, he who believes has no more questions. He who does not believe gets no answer. There is a lot of wisdom in that too. He who believes has no more questions. God gives him the answer. He who does not believe gets no answer at all. Faith is the requirement for everything. Well, I had intended to continue in the book of Acts, but I appreciate what has been said, and I would like to refer to it just briefly. In Psalm 145, we have already heard wonderful things, and it struck me when the angel of the Lord spoke to Mary, and then there is one sentence. I think it was recorded in Luke 2. Luke 2. And after that sentence, she began her praise because she believed. No, it's in Luke 1. It says here in verse 45, and blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, my soul does magnify the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. And then she continues in the song of praise and in worship. Here in Psalm 145, we have heard it said over and over again that we are to praise and extol God always and forever. But first, God has to do something in our hearts before praise can arise. And when we have read every verse, taken in every thought, then we cannot help but offer our due thanks to the Lord. In Joshua 24 is probably the only prophecy that Joshua ever brought. From verse 2 to verse 13 is after all prophecy. It is not report, but it is spoken in the first person. If you notice it, it is not Joshua who spoke, but the Lord through Joshua in the first person. It says here from verse 2, and Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham. This was not Joshua. This was God speaking. Joshua didn't take Abraham. God took Abraham. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. Notice, here God is speaking through Joshua, and therefore he could say, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel." And the same God speaks to me today, speaks to you today, speaks to us today. From verse 4 it says, "And I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. Then I sent Moses also, and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt, according to that which I did among them. And afterward I brought you out." Isn't it wonderful that God, at the end of the journey and ministry of a Joshua, and when our brother just said that Joshua the prophet spoke here to all of us, maybe a little new to our ears, that Joshua was a prophet, but here God spoke through him and said what he had to say, that he led the people out, that he sent Moses and Aaron into Egypt, but that he himself performed the miracles in the land. For here it is written, let me read it again, "I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt, according to that which I did among them. And afterward I brought you out." This I is the Lord God. This is the I Am, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Almighty God, the Creator of heaven and earth, who had and has a plan with the people of Israel and has a plan with the church. Then it goes on to say, from verse 6, "And I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and ye came unto the sea, and the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen unto the Red Sea." And when they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them, and covered them, and your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt, and ye dwelt in the wilderness a long season. This was not Joshua who caused something to happen to the Egyptians. This was God reminding the people of Israel here through the mouth of Joshua of all that he had done for them. And I mean, the same God brings before us today what he has done for his people, what he has done for you and me by grace. And it goes on to say, And he dwelt in the wilderness a long season. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side Jordan. And they fought with you, and I gave them into your hand, that ye might possess their land. And I destroyed them from before you. Who was it that did this? Not Joshua, not the people of Israel, not the great leaders of the armies. I, the living God, brought you out of Egypt. I have led you in the wilderness. I have provided for you. I have been around you. I have carried you. I have given you the land of Canaan. I have driven out the enemies before you and destroyed them. God has provided for his people all along the line, not just in the past. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He cares. That's how we read it in the sermon. But did we understand it? God is concerned. He is concerned for his own, and he takes care for his own. Then we read on from verse 9. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel, and sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam. Therefore he blessed you still. So I delivered you out of his hand. Here is the word will once and the word must once. Balaam wanted to curse, but he had to bless, because what God has blessed remains blessed forever. Once the will of man, once the divine must, to which man must submit and subordinate. But it has all been done for the glory of God, not for the sake of man, but that his name might be glorified. God says here, I was not willing to listen to Balaam. God will not be willing to listen to any who set out to curse the blessed of the Lord. God will not be willing to hearken to men who set out to curse what God has redeemed, brought out, delivered, and made his special possession. I was not willing, and he is not willing to this day, because his decision yesterday is his decision today, and his decision forever. We can all rely on that. I was not willing to hearken to Balaam. Rather, he had to bless you. A man who in his heart intended to curse must bless. Yes, with God all things are possible. He can turn the hearts like rivers of water, and he can cause to proceed out of the mouth that which is pleasing to him and profitable for his people. Then it goes on to say, so I delivered you out of his hand, not the people of Israel, but God delivered, God brought out, God bore, God preserved, God blessed. All came from God. They were the receivers, the takers, who received what God had intended for them. Then we read from verse 11, and ye went over Jordan, and came unto Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you, the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Girgashites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And I delivered them into your hand. And in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, it is recorded that God gave away seven nations to settle one people. I hope I can find it somewhere. But you all know the sermons in the book of Acts. It's chapter 13, verse 19. And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. Here they are listed. It was not the strength of the people of Israel, not their military leaders, but God went before them. God made a way for them. But they trusted in him, and they knew that is the land God has promised us. And that is where we are going now. And therefore, because they believed and were obedient, God went before them and provided for them. Here, in this case, in a very peculiar way that will never have happened before in a battle and may never happen again. It simply says, I delivered them into your hand, and I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out from before you. This is our God. Not even some elite equipped force, but a swarm of hornets, and they all took flight and left the places and the cities and the land. After all, our God is Creator. He can make the hornets come everywhere in the land in one fell swoop, and the enemies have to flee, and the people of God move peacefully into the land. Our God also has a way where we can no longer see a way. He has means where we are destitute. He reveals his power where we have become powerless. If only we can trust him and believe him with all our heart. Everything in this prophecy of Joshua is wonderful. Every sentence is a bull's eye. Things are mentioned here that God has done in a special way. And then it concludes so wonderfully, and I have given you a land for which ye did not labor. Who had labored? Who had cared? He who had made the promise. He cared for those who believed his promise. How is it today? We can have anxious nights and sleepless nights. But if we can understand that he cared and still cares today, but for whom does he care? For his own, and his own are the bearers of the divine promises. And the Lord said, I will go before you. And Moses, after all, was also concerned and said, if you don't go before us, then there is no use at all for us to set out and for us to go. God didn't just start the thing. He completed it. And the completion ends with prophecy. Don't you see what it's all about? The consummation of what God had promised Israel ends with a summary prophecy of what God has brought to pass. So it is with the New Testament church. It ends with the fulfillment of Bible prophecy at this time. And that is why God sent a prophet to summarize all that and give us the prophetic word, not only to list what God has done, but the several stages of the paths he has taken with his people since Abraham, until they came to rest in the land of promise. Short and to the point, as every prophecy is, so also here, in a few words, much has been said for you and for me as a comfort, as a lesson, that we take to heart that God does not leave his own alone, and especially not at the end, but that just when he is needed most, he is also there to fulfill his promises among his people, with his people, and through his people. And I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwell in them, of the vineyards and olive yards which ye planted not, do ye eat. Don't you see what this is all about? God had prepared everything for them, brought them into a ready-made thing. The vineyards were there, the houses were there, everything was there. You have not labored for it. I have provided for it. Now you may come in and enjoy the fruits of the land. What a reference for the New Testament. What have you labored for? What have I labored for? What have you cared for? What have I been taking care for? God has taken care of us. He has provided all things. And the Holy Scripture says, How shall he not with him also give us all things? We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Thus, at the end of the book of Joshua, concludes the history of the people of Israel that began with Abraham. Summing it up in a prophecy, the Lord Himself spoke and set before His people what He had done. And if it is a work of God, then thanks are due to no Abraham and no Isaac and no Jacob, no Moses and no Joshua. The thanksgiving is due to the living God, that we may praise His name forever and ever. Have we cared that He called us, that He pardoned us, that He revealed His word? What have you cared about? And if we had cared, it would have been in vain. God has cared for us, for you and for me. Here He has shown it to His people and listed all that He has done out of love for His people, out of love for you and for me, out of love for His church. He has provided for you and for me in Jesus Christ our Lord, until we shall come from believing unto seeing. And when we shall enter into glory, our testimony will certainly be the same. All is undeserved grace. He has done it. Through the cross of Calvary, we have been reconciled to God. And I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwell in them, of the vineyards and oliveyards which ye planted not. And then it says so succinctly, you enjoy the fruits. So it is. Ye enjoy the fruits that have been grown for you. That is our God. He has provided for you and for me, for the New Testament church, not only at the beginning, but at the end in a very special way. For this Balaam, he appeared at a time when the people were about to enter. But God did not allow him to curse. He had to bless. Because what God has blessed remains blessed forever. And therefore, we may praise His name, as we read in the Psalm, always and forever, because of His goodness, because of His grace, because of His mercy, which He had and will have with us as His people and His children, until we come from believing unto seeing. God had much trouble with His people, but He did not give up. He had a promise, and He stood by that promise. And no matter what paths it went through, God had a goal with His people, and He reached that goal. Through ups and through downs, through failures and all kinds of things. But in the end, they reached the goal. God has a church. with which he will reach the goal. Before his throne will be a multitude without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. They will offer homage to the Lord forever and ever. May this word have much to say to me and to all of us. And I tell you something, when it is written, and she kept all these words and pondered them in her heart, then I mean that the word first pondered her heart, and then she pondered the word in her heart. If the word does not move our hearts, then we will not ponder on the word afterwards. But if the word of God moves our hearts, then we subsequently move the word of God in our hearts. And may God give that to me and to all of us by grace. And when we worship today, let us thank God purposefully for the word that he has given us, and not somehow lengthy prayers. Those are right in the closet. Here let us thank God in a concentrated way for what he has now spoken to us, and ask him to open our understanding for it. May his name be praised and exalted now and forever. He has prepared everything for you and for me, as it is written. Invite them and say, everything is ready. Come, sit down as the blessed of the Lord and share in what he has prepared for you. Blessed and praised be his name. Amen. I don't know about you, but the Spirit of the Lord is mightily present. I don't know, but it's not by chance, but the leading of the Holy Spirit is among his people, and we are so glad and so thankful. And I think these words must have moved all our hearts. If it's not the case, then I don't know. But I mean, God has spoken to us so wonderfully. And the thought came to me, you know, just as God provided for this earthly good, for these earthly things that the people of God were allowed to take without lifting a finger, so God provides for the spiritual things. He provides for the eternal home of his bride, whom he will take to himself. For he has said, I go to prepare a place for you. Brothers and sisters, there will be other houses or other mansions than the earthly ones here on earth. Oh, I can't help it. But it became so great to me while my brethren here in front spoke the word, driven by the Holy Spirit. It is the same God today. He cares for us. And I had to think about, have we cared for this food that has been given to us? Not at all. It was he who provided and who continues to provide for his own. Oh, we should beat our hands to our chests and say, oh God, what do we owe you? What can we do for you? We just might want to exclaim, as Joshua exclaimed, but I and my house will serve the Lord. That is what we should do. Brothers and sisters, the words are so mighty, so apt, so heavy. Oh, what can we do? I want to say, let's leave everything behind. God has not allowed, as we have heard, the people to be cursed. Oh, he does not allow that his own are cursed. You know, where the curse is spoken out, it must return, you know. God does not allow the curse to fall upon his own. No, it must return, and it strikes those who speak it. but upon his own comes the blessing of the living God. And one should consider what one is doing before opening one's mouth to pronounce a curse on the blessed of God. One should consider it carefully, but I want to tell you, it will be revealed what will happen to them then. Oh, may the faithful God grant mercy. May he bless us, is my prayer. Let us stand up and, as has been said, give concentrated thanks to the Lord for his word he addressed to us. From the bottom of our hearts, for your presence, we thank you for your mighty work, Lord, through your Holy Spirit. Lord, you dwell among your own. You are among the praise of your people. Lord, we have seen today the guidance and leadership of your Holy Spirit. It was not man, Lord. It was not us. It was not my brethren. It was your good Holy Spirit who led us, who led my brethren. I worship you and I thank you from the bottom of my heart. And we all join in the praise. O Lord, hallelujah. And give thee glory, the true and the faithful God. Hallelujah. Lord, we want to ponder these words in our hearts and receive them and believe them, that you also care for your people in these days, O Lord. That you care, Lord, and that you have gone to prepare a place. O Lord, what a glory it will be when the people of Israel already rejoiced in all that you had prepared for them. Lord, they could take from the abundance of what you had prepared. Lord, how much more will we be able to take and see what you have prepared for us? For your word says it, what no eye has seen, what has not entered into any man's heart, you have prepared for those who love you. Hallelujah. Lord, here is a people who love you. Lord, who cherish and respect your word, Lord. We are here, Lord, as your chosen ones. And so we know and stand in faith that we will receive what your word tells us. Praise be to your wonderful and glorious name of Jesus. O Lord, it is so wonderful, it is so precious, Lord, that we may be united here in your wonderful name, and you have spoken so mightily to us. Lord, may you be with us in the meantime, and would you speak to us? Praise be to your glorious name. Lord, grant grace to all, Lord, that we may refrain from everything that can stand in the way of your Spirit, or that is in the way of your work, and that we focus only, Lord, on that which is pleasing to you. Lord, so Joshua commanded the people of Israel, saying that they should take heed to that which is pleasing to the Lord. Lord, may we also be mindful of what is pleasing to you, Lord. This grant unto us, O Lord, is my prayer in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen.